Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog, Tad Pig, Other Shit Monday.
Sad Pigs.
A semi-weekly show where two old guys talk about old games and interesting games. But since it's Monday, it's an Other Shit Monday. All the stuff not about Wednesdays, IGN's Top 100 Super Nintendo games.
We can call the show Not About Wednesdays. We exclusively talk about every other day of the week. Just not Wednesday.
And every other member of the Addams Family. Not Wednesday.
We go on a 4-hour rant about Pugsley.
Pugsley Cat. Yeah. I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and I've talked about my family before.
Yeah, you have.
My mother, a very protective, kind of sheltered Southern Baptist woman. Very, very loving to me. Very lawful, neutral to other people.
I think she's very nice. Mm-hmm. I've only met her a few times, but she's always been pleasant.
Mm-hmm. She's very... She loves her children very, very much and worries about us constantly.
Yes.
One time in middle school, my best friends in middle school were Josh Nance and Ashley Shake. Listeners know we're familiar with Josh Nance.
Those people.
Ashley Shake will be on the show sometime next month coming in from Japan. But Ashley Shake, we refer to him as Shake. Shake wanted to go home with me that day and hang out after school, like it's seventh grade or something like that. I was taking a test and couldn't leave, so I told him, well, I guess... Call my mom and tell her or whatever. So he goes to the office, goes to the principal's office to use the phone.
Yeah.
And calls mom at work. And when mom answers, she's like, Pam, okay, they wanted me to call you. Something really, really bad has happened to Tyler. He's in the hospital. They think he's going to be okay. You need to go to the hospital like right away. And mom just fucking freaks out. And then a beat. And Shake's like, no, Pam, I'm just playing. I'm coming over after school. The minute he gets off the bus with me, she takes him and takes him right back home. She was so pissed for so long.
They get along fine nowadays, though, right?
Mostly. Mostly. Ashley Shake is also, by about like three different decibels, like my loudest friend. So whenever he would stay the night, my parents would get very frustrated because no matter what, they could hear him. Whenever I had a house where my room was in the basement, they could hear him clearly in the living room, just talking regularly.
I'm Dave, your bespectacled host, and oh boy, I'm not sure. I've been sitting on this one for a while. I still haven't really convinced myself that I want to tell it.
Yeah. If you can talk about it's ripped, bleeding urethra.
Lacerated urethra. Yeah, well, this is pretty dark. Not really. It's not dark. It's just horribly embarrassing. Somewhere out there, there's a ticking time bomb, Tyler. When I was about, I guess, 12 or so, I got a Game Gear for Christmas.
The way you drew out that A, I got AIDS. I was like, that's a ticking time bomb. I donated blood when I was 12. It's out there somewhere.
So anyway, that's my story.
It's dark.
Today we're talking about Guacamele. I was checking for spare coins in the phone booths, Tyler, and I felt a prick on my finger. And I looked down, I was bleeding. I got the AIDS.
Is that from something? That's a horrible, like, horror concept.
That's an urban myth.
Oh, man.
You never heard that before?
No, I've never heard that.
Oh, man. When I was a kid growing up, I used to hear that rumor. I think I was living in Pennsylvania at the time. So it was believable to me because I hated Pennsylvania. And I was like, yeah, I bet someone here would do that.
Whew.
We just lost Pennsylvania, by the way. I hope you don't.
Well, as long as we don't lose Iowa, we're good. Right?
I had a Game Gear. Yeah, I'm telling a story. I forgot. And I love this Game Gear. And one of the best things about it is, I don't know if they all came standard with this, like, Game Gear briefcase for kids.
I had one.
Like vinyl shit.
It had 20 slots for all the games you're never going to fill up.
Yeah. Always badass. So I had one of those with it. And what I used to do with it in middle school was, you know where I'm going with
this. I know where you're going now. Yeah.
The thing that was great about this case, right, was that it had like this molded plastic inside that held all the games and held the Game Gear. And you could lift that out. It took a little bit of work and effort, but you could lift that molding out, and then you would just be left with the just the case.
Mm-hmm.
And what I used to do was, let me just say, you can hide things back there. I believe that was one of the purposes when they designed this product, was that young boys could hide pornography inside their Game Gear case. So, okay, all right. Long story short. I had a Playboy and I had some sensitive material that I had written. we're just gonna leave it at that. I was on a journey to become a man, Tyler, and I had to write it out.
Yeah, write some fan fiction. I get it. Some vagina fan fiction.
that's a subreddit, right? Our vagina
fiction. We're making it.
We're mods. We'll see all of our listeners there. So I took this collection of journaling and cataloging that I had done, along with a lone Playboy, which I can still see the cover clearly in my mind.
And do you know who was on the cover?
I don't know who was on the cover. I can tell you that it was a woman laying back in a pool, and she was wearing a yellow bikini. So it was a very tame Playboy cover.
See, I think this is worth a ton of Tadpog points. They can piece together from you saying how old you were, how old you are now, so what year, if they can post the correct picture of this Playboy cover on the Tadpog website, they have to get something.
That's fine. I'm just relieved that you didn't go the direction I thought you were going. I thought you were going to say, if you can find Dave's Game Gear case, I really don't want anyone to find this. Because what I did was, I hid this collection back behind the Game Gear. And as I grew up and got into high school and owned, you know, a PlayStation and shit like that, I completely forgot about my Game Gear, along with the pornographic time bomb ticking inside of it. So I have since sold that Game Gear with the case. And about a week after I sold it, I was sitting there. I can't remember what I was doing, but I just had this moment where it's like, oh, shit. All that's still inside the case. Like, all anyone has to do is just pull the molding out and be like, what the fuck ramblings of a madman are these with this 1994 Playboy? So if anyone finds that, it's mine.
See, I should have used my Game Boy case for that. Like, I did the same thing as you did, but I would write first drafts of notes that I would later give to girls. I hid all my rough drafts in there. But that's
see, you were nice and sweet. I was just pervy about it. Like, it's really like if the person I sold it to found it, because I know that guy. That's a bad situation.
Is he a listener? We need to contact him.
No, he's not a listener.
Do you? I'll ask him. Like, God, I'm looking
for. God, I hope he's not a listener. If he is, then and you still have that Game Gear, I'd appreciate that back. That's my intellectual property.
Just scan it. Put it on our cringe pics.
Oh man, it's totally worthy of that.
Oh.
So that's my story.
Well, today, courtesy of Baron Drew Roland, bought me a game that David already had played. So I thought, okay, well, I'll play this over the last week and we'll talk about it. So it is the Xbox 360 Steam. Is it on PS3?
I played it on PSN. So okay. I don't know if it's on Xbox. It probably is because it's on Windows.
Yeah. Downloadable indie title. Guacamelee.
I really wanted to do like a racist like Mexican jingle there, but I held myself back, Tyler. I held myself back.
Well, the whole game kind of has those undertones a little bit, but
it does, and that's kind of wow. Let's just tip it right off the bat. This game is racist.
Not like Speedy Gonzales racist, but Jared, I'd read on Reddit on Today. I learned that groups had Speedy Gonzales like banned because he was, you know, a racist, stereotypical character. But like Mexican people had like rallied for him to come back. They loved Speedy Gonzalez. They weren't offended at all. It's like white people were offended.
Right.
So I guess that's kind of the way it goes.
White people think it's offensive to other ethnicities.
No, you're very offended. Right.
Yes. Well, I wish they would have done it like Garfield style, where they removed John. But they still have the Speedy Gonzalez cartoons. It's just he's gone. and stuff just happens around it. I don't really think this game is racist.
No, it's. I guess it's more celebratory.
It's definitely like it definitely plays on some stereotypes.
Yeah,
like for sure.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's weird because
having to build a legendary burrito. Yeah,
but is it though? So, I don't know. I didn't mean to start this off so deep. I'm in too deep, Tyler. I don't know where to go. I need help. Steer this conversation elsewhere.
Well, I should say I wanted very badly to finish this game, but I wasn't able before recording.
Cram a lot of game time in.
I got a promotion at work, and we're
fucking
double
shorthanded. Brag about it on the show, don't you?
Yeah.
So listen, ladies.
So now I am the chef de cuisine at JP's Bar and Grill.
Nice.
And it's been crazy because we've gone through so much restructuring. So I'm working. If I'm not here recording with you, I'm basically at work. So
just masturbating.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's in the kitchen. I'm just here in the office.
I shouldn't joke about that, right?
No, it's fine. It's fine. That's all we do. I think that's one of the. You can Google Tadpog masturbation.
The map shows up, the Google map with all the star locations.
Or you look on Megan's list, and we've got like warning pending on our houses.
On what?
The sex offender registry.
What? It's called Megan's list?
Megan's list, where you can go and check.
I thought you were talking about Meg's 246.
No, Megan's list is where you could go and see all the registered sex offenders in your neighborhood where they live.
So you're recommending that none of our listeners do that.
Don't look.
They
don't
will
look.
Be terrified by the results.
That's why, like John,
show notes.
Like John Null did it out of curiosity, and his next door neighbor happens to be on it. So guacamole.
Guacamole.
What? I feel like my hearing's something. Like my hearing's going. Do you hear that?
Like a ringing.
It's like a dying cat train.
I don't know. Is it the Dave Reads from Wikipedia train?
It is.
That's
it
what
is.
It is. Guys, it has an exclamation mark, so I have to say it like it's should be pronounced. Mm-hmm. Guacamole is an action platform video game developed by Drinkbox Studios. Here are our answers, Tyler. For PlayStation 3, PlayStation Vita, and Microsoft Windows. Okay. That's a weird trinity.
Mm-hmm.
The game draws its inspiration. This goes about what we were talking about, how we're white people, so we don't really know what's offensive. The game draws its inspiration from traditional Mexican culture and folklore. So, so one mark in the celebratory column. Guacamole builds upon classic action platformers by adding a strong melee combat component, a new dimension switching mechanic, and cooperative same screen multiplayer for the entire story. Yes, same scream. You scream
the whole time.
The game also blurs the boundaries between combat and platforming by making many of the moves useful and necessary for both gameplay mechanics.
I had a good time playing it.
I'm glad you did, because we get we hear a lot of negative Tyler on the show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's not you. The listener really isn't hearing the real Tyler.
I'm like, I'm fucking Oscar the Grouch? Oh, yeah, Oscar the Grouch. Just laying on that Sesame Street. Just
Muppet trend continues. We've forsaken Golden Girls for Muppets recently.
No. I have to say that Guacamole, I thought it was a very good game, a very entertaining game, but it's not without some issues for me. Because I first saw you playing it, I was very entertained by it. It's hilarious. It is a very, but in order to really fully appreciate it, you need to be both a Redditor and a gamer.
Well, or at least an internet person, I think would be a safe.
I guess you could be 4chan or heaven forbid 9gag, but as long as you're up on internet culture, you're really going to get a lot of it.
And some of these references in the game are so old now, you could probably even just be a Facebooker.
That's true. Like in 5 years, James Livingston will really enjoy this game.
Put it in the time capsule.
Yep.
And bury it in my yard. And in 5 years, I'm going to unbury it and mail it to James.
Like, oh, hey. foul bachelor frog. All right, I get that. Because as you are an agave farmer, Juan, who on his way to save his childhood friend and possible sweetheart, El Presidente's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember her name.
I think that's her name.
El Presidente's daughter.
Yeah.
she's kidnapped by Calaca, who is a...
Is that pronounced correctly?
Calaca?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I was legitimately asking.
Calaca. That's the way I said it in my head.
Okay.
And on his way to save her, Calaca is a... he was a bullfighter, mm-hmm. and now he's dead and has crossed back over and is working on merging the land of the living and the land of the dead. And he needs El Presidente's daughter. And he's hired... he has his girlfriend, Zetabe, Zetabe.
Like, I got a confession to make. I haven't played this game in months.
Yeah. Well, I mean, last time I saw you beat it. So
you're going to lead this conversation tonight.
And then the other, his assassin type, Flamehead.
His assassin. I like, that's a, it's like, that's a class of Pokemon, right?
Yeah.
Assassin type.
Assassin. It should be. It's not.
If it was, I'd play that game.
To my knowledge, it's not. Psychic, ghost, just ghost type.
Slit throat.
That might be a move. That honestly might be a move. My Pokemon knowledge is pretty rusty. But he hires the two of them. He kills one. And when Juan's in the land of the dead, he finds...
He kills one? What about the other?
Oh, Espanol humor.
It takes Juan to know Juan. That's for you, Miller.
When he's in the land of the dead, he finds the luchador's statue, and the female partner you can play throughout the game tells him to put the mask on, and he can save El Presidente's daughter and save the two worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So once he does that, and then he's able to exist in the land of the dead and the land of the living. And I guess it makes him more powerful.
Yeah, it's like his Iron Man suit.
Yeah, he becomes the legendary luchador.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when you go into the various villages, the luchadors are all people talk about.
What, Tyler, what is a luchador?
A Mexican wrestler.
Okay.
But they wear the masks, the colorful, full head masks.
Is that where it's shameful to be defeated and have your mask removed?
Mm-hmm.
They touch on that in the game just a little bit,
A little bit. Yeah. Because everyone, they all have strange gimmicks, like what the Flusher, whose luchador mask is a toilet.
Right.
Several others. I can't remember at the time, but
I think we should, they're there. I think we should hop online and get some masks.
Okay. Done.
All right. When we're done recording, I want to get our masks.
Well, you've got your Deadpool mask, and that's pretty close.
Yeah, it's pretty.
It's not traditional.
It's from a luchador website.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I know where we can get our masks, bro.
Okay, done. You get the mask hookup. But I wanted to play it since I saw you playing it. So thank you, Drew, very much for buying it for me. I very much appreciate it. I hope that your title and us talking so well about you is repayment enough.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Baronhood, come on.
But the premise isn't like sort of the Mexican folklore premise. I don't think I've really seen anywhere else. Like, you see a lot of other cultures use in a lot of other games.
Yeah.
I feel like this is kind of, for the most part, left out. The only other experience I've had with it is they'll touch on it a little bit in like the Iron Druid series, like one of the books involves
a luchador.
Well, it's sort of, it goes back a little further with sort of the American Southwest and Mexico and the gods that they worship and things like that. Indians and Mexicans. Native Americans. There you go. Native Americans and Mexicans.
Oh, God. We should just end this show. Yeah, I don't feel good about it.
But overall, like I said, very entertaining, very funny, a great premise you don't see very often in games.
Yeah. And I, honestly, all jokes aside, I do think that their cultural references, I don't know, but I assume that the lead designer is probably a Mexican dude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because it all really is done with tact, and even the moments that are funny and kind of poke, you can tell are done tongue in cheek and end with love. Mm-hmm. I feel as a white man, Tyler, I feel that way. So I don't know,
but once you get the mask and become the legendary luchador, and then basically you get quests. The quest log is very minimal. You'll get a few quests from various towns, very sparse towns there's fetch quests, and you might get three pieces of a sort of a heart vase, and that'll give you more health. Three parts of a stamina skull will give you more stamina. Stamina being used to do your wrestling moves that you get by destroying Chuzu statues, which are from sort of a callback, making fun of Metroid, the Choizo statues that Samus gets her
which
powers
is
from.
Appropriate for this game because it's a Metroidvania style game.
And it's because it's, well, the one kind of complaint I have about it is, while it's very interesting at first, it becomes repetitive because you go from platforming, puzzle, action to room full of enemies.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all you do throughout the course of the game.
Yeah.
By the time I got to the end, I've kind of felt Assassin's Creed about it, Assassin's Creed 1 at least, where I was just doing the same thing with slight variations on the formula.
I like the rooms full of enemies. I think the brawling is really well done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of interesting because I come from more of like a brawler background as far as video games go.
You life in the streets. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I've heard about your rough background.
You know, when all you've got in your life is a Game Gear case full of pornography, Tyler, you really have to learn to be tough.
You learn to defend yourself.
You really do need to learn. I played a lot of brawlers and fighters when I was a kid and not a whole lot of Castlevanias and Metroids.
Mm.
So I feel like this game is a good blend of the two because I really enjoyed the brawling aspects of it, but I could also appreciate the Castlevania Metroid style aspects of it too.
Because I remember I bought you Symphony of the Night back in the day. Was that like the first Castlevania you'd really played? Had you played many more?
No, it was the third one I played. The first one I played was when I asked for Castlevania, I got a Tiger Electronics.
Oh, yeah, okay.
what was it? It was a Simon's Quest Tiger Electronics LCD game. And then after that, I played the actual Castlevania, the first Castlevania for Nintendo. And then, Symphony of the Night was then the third.
So was it the first one you beat? Did you beat the original Castlevania?
No, I didn't beat the first Castlevania.
I would like to. That's on my list of things I want to, after, because basically abandoned my Zelda quest, but that's still out there.
I thought you finished your Zelda quest.
I've beaten all the handheld ones.
Oh, okay.
Well, now I have it now that
so you unlock the achievement.
The new one is
hand-holding.
Out. Nice. My lifetime achievement. So I still have to do console Zeldas and then the new one for 3DS.
Yeah, which is supposed to be pretty badass.
From what I read, and it's been sold on Amazon for a long time. Yeah, I saw the day it came out, and the next day when I checked, do not know when we'll be back in stock.
Yeah, it's supposed to be amazing. Are you talking about the continuation to, God, which one was it? A Link to the Past?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've heard it's amazing. Yeah. I want it as well. And I like Zelda games, but I'm not a huge fan.
Yeah.
I may get some backlash for that, but hey y'all, I'm just being honest.
I think I've heard your complaints and about the Zelda series. I think they're all valid. I don't think you're crazy. I think I could totally understand every one of them.
They're entertaining to me to a point, but it's just, it gets to the point where I don't like where you have to go back to dungeons that you've already completed.
Mm-hmm.
That for some reason, and it's weird, I know we're way off topic, but I was thinking about this the other day when I was playing Path of Exile. It was like, it doesn't bother me in that game. Like in Path of Exile, I can go back to a dungeon and kill respawned enemies all day long. But for some reason, in a Zelda game, it really bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess maybe it's because I know in a Zelda game that if I can just get past this damn dungeon, there's more story for me on the other side.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I can understand. Then you're kind of doing, you're always doing the same essential thing in every single Zelda. So once you've played a few of them, you kind of get what every one of them forever will be about.
But yeah. And A Link to the Past, though, is the first time I recall staying up for 24 hours straight was playing that on my Game Boy.
Nice.
I loved that game. That was a great, I never
Link's
beat it.
Link's Awakening is so good. I want Meg to play it so badly, but it's just,
oh yeah, I said A Link to the Past earlier, mm-hmm. didn't I? Yeah, I meant Link's Awakening, sorry.
Because I think that is probably my favorite one, and then I'm probably in the minority of this one, like close to that. Like I loved Zelda 2. For NES.
Yeah, no, that's,
God, I fucking loved it.
That's universally known as the black sheep of the series, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, I've never played much of that one. I beat the first one as a kid, and then I've almost beat Link to the Past, and I never could beat Link's Awakening, even though I liked it. Mm-hmm. I just didn't have other friends who played it, and I didn't have a guide, so I got stuck.
I called Nintendo Hotline a lot to beat that game. Yeah.
Was it worth it?
It wasn't on my phone line, so yeah, totally was.
Whose phone line was it on?
The friend who stabbed me in the hand.
Was this before or after he stabbed your leg?
Way before.
Mystery solved. Why you have a wound.
All right, Guacamelee.
Yeah, okay.
Because you start off, you know, just punching and kicking, and the more you mix it up, you'll get bonus money when you destroy skeletons and things like that that exist on both sides.
They reward you for doing combos. Mm-hmm.
And you eventually get, like, a rooster uppercut. Like, when you destroy one of the Chuzu statues, the old goat warden of all the statues comes out, and he lectures you about it.
I do like the goat warden.
He wants to have sex with your mother.
Yes.
And
but,
he,
I mean, we're a farmer. Why wouldn't he?
That's true.
I mean, farmers notoriously have lovely mothers.
It's true. And, well, daughters. Farmers have lovely daughters.
Oh, that explains why. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Got it. I'm writing it down on my hand.
Farmer. That's what the McElroys, that'll be their farm wisdom.
Yeah, we know they're listening. we know where they get all their tips from.
But the rooster uppercut, you get a frog belly flop, a
frog squash,
a headbutt, essentially. And each one has a different color to it.
Right.
So you use that move to destroy certain colored blocks that are blocking your way. So you have to backtrack, destroy those blocks to get on.
Give me an example.
So like in the first city, you might see when you enter one of the houses, there is a section that is red.
Uh-huh.
And you can see a corridor beyond it, but you can't break through. So once you get the rooster uppercut, which is red whenever you do it, you know that destroys red blocks. So then you go back to that town, destroy that red block, and then you can go in and you might get a piece for your
stamina,
health or stamina or something like that, or money. And then I think there are like four or five moves like this. And eventually enemies will be color-coded to where they'll have a shield where they're invincible until you hit them with that move.
And that's part of the brawling that I really liked, because I'm not used to that. I don't think I've really seen that before, where it's like you have to use specific special moves on an enemy in order to knock out his defenses.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets really interesting when they mix them up. So it's like you've got two different enemies with two different colored shields. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Because then you have to start juggling them. Like you'll have to do a certain combo in one and then switch over to the other one and then juggle them back and forth.
Yeah, because their shields regenerate, so you have to make sure you're on which ones, and some are flying. And then the platforming, because you'll have to use your uppercut to get a little more distance out of your jump. So that involves in platforming, getting from position to position, and like using your frog belly flop to get through green blocks to go down and hit enemies.
Right.
And the, because I know when you get the...
These are all...
The flying derp derp.
Right.
It's the final one that you get, because the goat guy's like, I don't have any more names. Flying derp derp. There you go. And every time you get a move, it's very celebratory. There's the Mexican fiesta music, and then you and your partner make, you know, the muscular poses. So it's flying derp derp, and that is the sort of a charge. So you'll have to use a combination of like the uppercut and the charge to get through different kind of platforms. But I think it's a good idea. They execute it well for the most part. But I feel like the game gets difficult in that you're just trying to get the controller and game to do what you want to do. You know what you have to do, and it gets frustrating quickly, because if you don't press up just hard enough, you'll jump the other way or completely miss. I got very frustrated trying to get through all of these puzzles, especially the dodge mechanic.
Yeah.
Because if you press on the right joystick, press the direction you're trying to go, you'll roll out of the way.
Right.
And there are these barbed wire fences all over the place that the only way to bypass those is to do your dodge move.
Right.
It doesn't flow very well.
It is difficult when you're already running and you pretty much have to stop in order to roll, because you can't, since you're already pushing the analog stick to the left, you can't hit it to the left again without pulling it back. You do this weird like kind of herky jerky, like, okay, I'm running, okay, stop, roll.
That, and you can't use your other button because you're having to press it to jump to get in the first place. So I feel like that could have been better. It's a very I hardly ever use dodge because it was frustrating and didn't flow well. With the rest of the game, that flows, like move to move and juggling flows very well. But the dodge is just, they just ran out of, they try, I guess they tried
ran
to put
out
too
of
many moves. Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't have a good place to put it.
I think that's a good criticism. I think that's valid. I didn't really think that, other than that, I didn't think the controls were that bad. Like I actually thought they were pretty tight. I didn't have any problems jumping or anything like that, but definitely I agree with you on dodging and rolling. That was kind of cumbersome.
And the because I got frustrated you can cling to walls eventually. Right. You get your goat jump, but...
These are all traditional Mexican wrestling moves, right?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. I just want to make sure, because I don't know anything about
wrestling. I've seen all of these in WWF, all of these.
So, okay, so they appropriated it from, WWF?
They probably bought these from Vince McMahon.
Okay, and that is Ed McMahon's little brother?
Yep.
Okay.
I think this is the only wrestling-related game we will probably talk about, because I don't know of any wrestling games for Original Flavor Wednesday.
There is something I want to do. I want to get Jacob on, and I want to talk about Saturday Night Slam Masters.
Oh, God. That game. They had it at Game Galaxy.
Yes.
So fucking hard.
It's hard.
My God, it's hard. And we only want to be Hagar.
Right? I know. And only one person can be Hagar. I actually, our good buddy Paul Cluel, mm-hmm. who does his web show, he guest hosts on a wrestling podcast from time to time.
Oh.
So... I'm saying there's an opportunity for a little cross promotion going on if we do Saturday Night Slam Masters.
That does sound good. I'm sure people who are wrestling, the only game wrestling game I hear wrestling game fans constantly talk about and lament that it's not coming back is No Mercy for N64.
I'm not a wrestling fan. There I said it. I know I'm surrounded by wrestling fans, it seems like. I don't have those childhood memories because I never watched wrestling growing up.
I was banned from it, so that's maybe one of the reasons.
You were banned from wrestling?
More. Yeah, well, I could.
Tyler was banned from wrestling. Couldn't play street hockey, couldn't wrestle.
Like I said, I'd spend all my birthday money on like wrestling. I bought ropes to try to put them in my backyard. It didn't work.
You bought a ring.
But yeah, I couldn't because The Undertaker was demonic. You know,
well, clearly.
I was banned from watching clearly, it. So I wanted to watch it like if I was over at a friend's house, you know, I craved it because I wasn't supposed to watch it. So
that makes sense.
I have relatively good memories of it. I remember in early high school, we used to all get together. We'd pitch in pay-per-views and get together and watch them at somebody's house. That was always a good time.
Yeah. See, I could get into that. I could even do that today, yeah. I think. If someone was like, hey, man, you want to throw in $5 and we'll watch this? And I'd be like... Yep. Is there gonna be like beer and pizza there? Because I'm in.
Well, now we just go to like Shomi's, which is the local Hooters knockoff.
I haven't been there yet.
They always have them.
That's a deep Paducah reference.
It's about Shomi's. I don't. Maybe they're a franchise. I imagine they have to be. But it's like
it's not Shoney's because I got excited at first. I was like,
nope.
So Shoney Bear?
Shomi's?
Shoney Bear takes his clothes off while you eat an American burger.
it's located right beside the Harley dealership in Paducah.
Uh-huh.
So you get it's that crowd. Like if you don't have enough money to go to Hooters or you're
we don't have one. First of all,
yeah. Well, yeah, we drove Hooters out of town. We want Shomi's. But yeah, it's the subpar Hooters. It's everything is still like wood paneling on the walls. They didn't finish anything, and they just have some TVs, pool tables. I've been there twice now to watch like WrestleMania and some other show because they have it in beer and wings.
All right, next time
we can go.
Just let me know, Tyler.
But okay, wrestling. Just drive it, steer it back around.
No Mercy.
No Mercy. That's the only.
That's the sequel to No Fear.
I know it. It the only people of the control scheme of No Mercy that it just made sense and it was amazing and perfect. It's the most perfect a wrestling game has ever been, and they just abandoned it completely. I can't remember the reasoning as to why. I know the only time that control scheme was used again was in Def Jam Vendetta.
What is that?
It is Jacob was a big fan. Def Jam Vendetta. You play. I think you're an aspiring rapper. And
I was hoping it was like a Guy Fawkes wrestling game.
Well, it's more like it's a...
like a V for Vendetta.
Well, it's a wrestling... It's like you're wrestling and fighting and throughout the backgrounds of like your rapper's career. And you're trained by Henry Rollins, who teaches you how to fight. He's your grizzled trainer. And you're going up and like a rival gang like shoots your girlfriend.
Do you fight the Insane Clown Posse? Does that happen?
Damn it. They're just big. I know there's, I believe there's one and two. This is for Def Jam Vendetta 3. It's you versus ICP. You have to go to like the gathering of the Juggalos.
Man, I know you're joking, but I would play that if that were real. I think I could learn to love a wrestling game if I just fought the Juggalos the entire time.
I know there's co-op.
Yeah.
If you get it for Steam, I would love to play the co-op.
If you get it for PSN, I'd love to do the same.
But it's very this girl suddenly appears, gives you the mask, and then she's your partner. And she makes two or three appearances in the rest of the game if you're not playing co-op.
Right.
So co-op, for this, seems like a great idea. And I can see there are times that it's necessary. But it feels like, after the fact, it was shoehorned in. Like somebody, as the game was about to go online, was like, it'd be pretty good if you could play two players.
Yeah, I don't think it would... granted, like you said, I haven't tried it, but I really can't imagine having a good time co-op, I guess, except for the brawling. Like, I think the brawling would be a lot of fun.
But
I think the platforming would just be really, really not fun.
One person gets up there and has to wait while the other person tries to struggle to get there.
Yeah, it's the classic platform, two-player platforming conundrum.
Yeah.
But the brawling, yeah, I think that'd be pretty awesome.
It'd be very fun. Items, you can buy items from a shrine. It saves your game, refills your health, and you can buy items from it. The shrines are located all throughout the game to the God of the Dead or something like that. Because everything is done in that very Day of the Dead style.
Which I love. I think that's amazing.
I didn't like it at first.
Oh, really?
But then I learned to love it eventually, just because I think it's ugly, but then I sort of got to like it over time.
I tell you, man, the style is what sold me on this game. Mm. Like, I really could have just... The gameplay could have been awful, and I would have finished it. Fortunately, I think the gameplay is great, but I just love the way this game looked. Like, I mean, the animations and the use of color, and I mean...
It's very colorful. That's refreshing.
Yeah.
It's refreshing to see a game so bright and colorful.
Yep. Even when you switch to, because we haven't really talked about the dimension switching concept.
Oh, uh-huh.
Because you go from the land of the living to the land of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you switch dimensions to the land of the dead, it's almost, it's still very stylistic. And it's not, it's still every bit as animated.
Mm-hmm.
It's just done completely different.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a Tim Burton style.
Yeah, because it's, yeah, that's exactly a good comparison.
I kind of hate to say that because, you know, Tim Burton's gone to that well so frequently.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, yeah, I mean, it's definitely got character.
Mm-hmm. And then I enjoyed, I love the concept of going, you know, back and forth because a wall will be there in the land of the living, switch to the land of the dead, the wall is gone.
Right.
And you can progress. So you switch through, you know, it's a good puzzle mechanic.
Yeah.
It feels kind of jarring when you do it, though.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, I can see where that's intentional.
Yeah.
But you have to do it so often, it gets bothersome.
Yeah, there are parts, and I think that is done by design, but there are some parts I know where you have to go, like, really quick. Like, you have to switch between dimensions really fast, and it's, you know, four or five times in, and it's just kind of like...
It needs an epilepsy warning.
Yeah, you feel it, and it may, honestly. it can get me a little queasy.
Because, let's see, because you switch back and forth so frequently, the shrines, and then, well, the items you can buy, they're moves and, you know, power-ups and things like that.
Yeah.
And eventually, I know there's extra content. I don't know if it's, Drew bought me the gold edition. I know there's a guy who will sell you a piece of ethereal dynamite to go access a new part of the game.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
Outrageously expensive, and you don't get a lot of money in the game.
Uh-huh.
So if you want to get everything, there's so much grinding you'd have to do, and I don't think this is a fun game to grind in, like, at all. There's no like kind of mindless aspect where you can get lost in it. It's very, very active.
You're right.
So you're very aware of the passage of time. So it makes it where grinding is just kind of torturous.
I really like there's a gauntlet in the game, isn't there? Where you just fight waves of enemies.
In the abandoned caves.
I really like that. Like, that I could do for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, I could do the brawling aspect of this game. Like, I would love, what I hate about that is that it ends. It's not, I wish it was a non-ending wave after wave of enemies, just to kind of see how far you can get.
Yeah, I really enjoyed those. Usually there's a type of dungeon in the new handheld Castlevanias, there will be a optional dungeon that is like that.
Oh, yeah?
Where you'll go, like, boss rush and enemies back-to-back and get to, like, a secret final boss at the end of that. I always enjoy those a whole lot.
I like that. And you can start and stop it. Like, you don't... There's not a whole lot of lead-up to doing it. It's just something where you're like, oh, you just switch the mode and do it.
I think there is a mode like that, and there's also, like, if you just go to a certain part of the castle, once you drop down, it starts.
Okay. Cool.
But Guacamelee, despite the few issues I had with it, it's a very good game, and I absolutely encourage anybody to get it, especially, like, I'm sure it'll be cheap on the winter sale, and I highly advise anyone to pick it up.
Yeah, I'd recommend it too, easily.
It's a blast. It's funny. There's a giant rooster who gives you tips.
Yeah.
There's a giant rooster trainer.
And we're not going to give spoilers on the rooster.
Mm-mm.
I really want to, but I'm not going to.
Okay. But Guacamelee, great. If I had to give it a numerical value, it's, a letter. It's solidly, like, it's a B. It's a B to maybe a B plus.
So play it.
Play it. Buy it when it's on sale. Or start a podcast and ask somebody to buy it for you.
Yeah, start a podcast, do it for 11 months, get someone to buy it for you, play it. So really, really D minus. Do you have achievements or anything like that for the game?
It has achievements. It has 60 achievements on Steam.
Don't feel like there's room for at least two more?
No. I put a lot of time into it as quickly as I could, and I think I'm about to beat it 40% of the achievements. I feel like I was constantly getting them, so there are a lot of achievements. So there's probably not one that I could think of that isn't in there.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Good, because I don't have any.
Yeah.
I was working the whole time you were talking. I was like, something day man? It's an impossible achievement. You have to beat the game without ever going to the to the land of the dead.
Well, then there's Nightman, where you just...
Right, that's the
once
opposite.
You die, you stay there.
You can never go through the game and get both achievements on the same playthrough. Tyler?
Yes, Dave?
I wasn't sure whether I should use that voice or not, because on Sad Pigs, I never know what to expect. Mm-hmm. I never know if we go to traditional trappings of Wednesday shows and you're going to do a beard and it's a glass.
Other shit Monday is just, it's chaos.
It's pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. I have to admit, sometimes I listen to these and I don't know. I just shake my head. It's just so bananas.
It's so bananas.
It's so bananas.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give Gwen Stefani a beard, what kind of beard would it be?
If I were to give this game or just specifically Gwen Stefani?
Specifically Gwen Stefani. This is Sad Pigs. We can do whatever we want.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it's just Gwen Stefani, I'd have to give her a very light dusting of a blonde beard.
That's...
enough that, like, she's pretty at a distance, and you get close, and if the sun catches it just right, you back up.
Oh, so you're talking about, like, the transparent beard.
Yeah, the beard you don't really notice until you're all up on it.
Yeah, until 4th of July?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can tell you, you're itching.
Yeah,
itching to give a beard to Guacamelee.
I don't think you'll get it, but I mentioned to give it for anybody who'll understand.
Okay. So what is it? If you were to give Guacamelee a beard, Tyler, what kind of beard would it be?
It's sort of like the Ron Swanson mustache in that it's a mustache, but you understand what it's about. It's I give it Jake the Snake Roberts, just rocking 80s mustache.
Okay. I remember that guy.
Yeah.
I know that guy.
The guy who had the big snake.
Yeah, he had the python. Like, I know some of the characters just from... I probably shouldn't say characters. I know some of the wrestlers.
They're characters. Yeah. Or gimmicks.
I don't want to get... I'm worried I'm going to get death threats.
It's a good read. Read Mick Foley's first book. I really enjoyed it.
Who's that?
Mankind.
Who's that? What is that? I mean, I know what Mankind is.
All of Mankind. All of Mankind. We all got together. We wrote a book.
Right.
You should read it.
You guys didn't let me know? You wrote a book about me?
We hired a ghostwriter for you.
His name is Dog, and he's not human.
I had no idea what he was doing. It was actually the ghost from the PBS special Ghostwriter who came in and pinned your sections. I remember I saw that Reddit post, like, Ghostwriter kids, where are they now?
Where,
like,
are they now?
I think one of them was dead, and the other, like, yeah. It was,
one of them is a ghost.
Yeah. He was the Ghostwriter.
Oh, no!
It's like the Yellow Power Ranger died shortly after she left the series.
No, the very first.
Trini? Yes.
No, she didn't.
She died in a car wreck shortly after she left the series.
Like, when she was leaving work? Like, leaving recording?
She's like, I've done this Power Ranger shit and left and died.
She's like,
it's the curse.
Bye, guys. I know I'm late to a party. I don't have time to change out of my Power Ranger outfit. I sure hope I never die in this thing. That would be embarrassing.
It's like that one time I don't know if I mentioned it before, that one time we were watching Full House, and you're like, where's that kid? We looked him up. He also died in a car wreck after he filmed the episode.
Yeah. That was the real bratty kid, though. So if he was anything like his character, I mean, I'm not saying he deserved it, but I'm saying I can envision him getting himself in a situation like that. So a Jake the Snake beard, eh?
Jake the Snake Roberts mustache, pedo stash. It's really, it's a creepy looking beard.
It's a snake beard.
But it's intimidating, and you know what it is, but at the same time, it's like, oh, okay, Jake the Snake.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give this game a pair of glasses, what kind of glasses would those be?
Well, glasses are things that fit onto your face. Typically. Do something to your vision.
Typically.
I think a luchador's mask would suffice for glasses.
Not at all.
Well, I'm going to give it a luchador's mask.
not at all. I don't.
Maybe it has covering on it, so somebody can wear the luchador's mask and still see through it.
So it actually impedes your vision.
Yeah, there you go. I'd have to give this another wrestler. He's a more modern wrestler, Rey Mysterio.
I was about to say, as soon as you said more modern, I was like, I'm not going to have any idea who you're talking about.
Rey Mysterio. Mystique?
Is that
Rey Mysterio.
Just ripping off X-Men?
But Rey Mysterio Jr. is a luchador in the WWE. He was years ago in the WWF. He was a high-flying luchador. Very entertaining to watch. Very good. So I'd have to give this Rey Mysterio's luchador mask.
Does he wear a bubble helmet?
Nope.
Okay.
I wish.
All right. Fair enough.
Like Mysterio from Spider-Man. I had to think for a second. I was like, where is he going with that one? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That's who Jacob wanted to see
the
most.
Does he rely on illusion to defeat his foes, Tyler?
So sort of. I've seen him throw smoke. And there's also a luchador in probably the one I hate to box the most in Super Punch-Out, the luchador.
And there's a luchador in Street Fighter 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just know all sorts of luchadors.
There's a luchador in, I think it might be the same luchador from Saturday Night Slam Masters.
Okay. All right. And since you said Mysterio, that is who Jacob really wanted to see in the next Spider-Man. He really wanted to see
that wrestler or the Spider-Man villain?
The Spider-Man villain. That wrestler be in, that be who Spider-Man is fighting in his origin story.
I just want to see Venom done right.
Yeah.
That's all. I just want to see Venom done right.
And an R-rated Spider-Man that has Carnage in it.
Yeah, it would have to be R-rated. Yeah. Well, no, it wouldn't have to be.
But it should be. I want it to be R-rated. Oh. I want it to
so
be
So you don't
like,
want him to do it Dark Knight style, where it's just really, really well implied violence. You want like just straight up.
I just want Carnage just doing what he does.
You literally want Carnage.
Yeah.
You want the first Marvel snuff film.
Don't sugarcoat it. Give me Carnage, Carnage. Anybody call us?
Some people called us.
Yeah.
Would you like to hear from them?
I would.
First call, Tyler.
Hey, Tadpog. It's John Sullivan, the Interstate 39 headed towards DeKalb, Illinois, calling from the car as usual. I just wanted to call. It's been a little while. Glad you guys got the art. Glad you liked the art. And just wanted to talk about a couple of RPGs. I love RPGs. I know you guys like RPGs. Just wanted to bring up a few, see if you played them. Gotta get your thoughts on them. Three of my favorite RPGs. Definitely not my favorite, but three of my favorite. I wanted to talk about Grandia 2 for the PS2. It's a great game. I really like it. I know it came out for, you know, other systems. Seemed good crap to the PS2 version. I really like it. Features the voice of Leonardo from the Ninja Turtles, which is pretty freaking awesome. Fun game. I played it in, I think, 3 sittings. Also, Destiny of the Emperor for the NES. I think that this is probably one of my favorite NES RPGs for sure. I think Suikoden gets a lot of praise for being able to play so many characters. And I think Destiny of the Emperor really had it nailed. They don't get enough credit because I think it's got to be at least 90 characters that you can play as. Very versatile party. Love the game. It's really fun. And then my favorite RPG, hands down of all time, this one is my favorite, Rogue Galaxy for the PS2. It's an action RPG. I just need them to take another sequel to this game because it's the best RPG I've ever played. It's like Bug Space Pirates. It can't be that. I just wanted to see you guys to play these games. If you like them, if not, you should go play them. And I'm about to get hit by a semi, so I'm going to go. Hope you guys are good. Bye.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, thanks for calling. It's really good to hear from you again.
We missed you.
Yeah. And thanks for the art. I'm really sorry that I don't want to give it away.
Out of those three RPGs, I'd ever played any of those.
I've never played any of those.
And the only one that I had heard of, well, I believe he said Grandia 2. In Kentucky, we call that Grandia 2. Mm-hmm. I've seen my friend Ashley Shake. He was a big fan of Grandia 2. So he would always tell me about how amazing it was, but I've never played it.
What I like is that you used the hick voice for every word but Grandia.
Grandia, yeah. I tend to do that when I try to do shit like that.
I like that a lot. I'm clearly not qualified to be on this show. I was thinking about this earlier, where it's like, you know, a lot of our listeners know a hell of a lot more about video games than I do. Mm-hmm. And this is one of these situations where, John, I've sat here and I made a list as I listened to your call, and next to them I've got, nope, didn't play that one, nope, didn't play that one, and no, didn't play that one. Mm-hmm. And first of all, well, I guess it would be second of all, Grandia 2, we're on the fence. Three sittings, that's pretty hardcore. For any, I don't care how short of an RPG it is, that's got to be a damn good game if you're going to finish an RPG in three sittings.
And then Debt to the Emperor, I mean, I'm interested in it. If it's Suikoden-esque, all those characters, I'm into the idea.
Yeah.
I will check it out.
So you want to go ahead and pencil in Death of the Emperor special episode in 3 years?
Done.
Okay.
Done.
Thanks for calling, John, and recommending some good RPGs.
I'm always down.
I have free time, I will try them out.
Mm-hmm.
Some other people call this, Tyler.
Yeah.
Hey, Dad, Mark, it's John Sullivan again. Just wanted to let you know I did not get crushed under the weight of that greeting semi. I knew you guys would be worried, so I'm still alive. I'm not dead. Okay, have a fun day. Bye.
Oh, thank God.
We weren't concerned at all. Did you know? Like, we didn't even mention. We were just like, yeah, man, those are some really good suggestions. Okay, next caller.
Well, that proves that the content of your call was so just alluring and engrossing. Yeah, we didn't think about your death.
Well, not only that, we also have full confidence in your capability to drive.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just imagine that JFK was a good driver, and that's who you remind me of every time you call. So.
And you said you were in Illinois. I've driven through Illinois. That's fine. You're fine.
It's dangerous.
No one dies in Illinois.
It's dangerous.
I'm sure the stats will back me up on that.
Not funny to joke about.
Zero road fatalities in Illinois.
It's not funny to joke about.
I've seen on the way to Lambert's when we crossed through Illinois, there is that one, I believe it's in Illinois, the car wrapped around a telephone pole.
Yes,
that they use
I know
to
what
warn
you're talking
people.
About.
Yep. So fine, there's been one.
one documented case.
Yeah.
And people go crazy. Some other people call us, or maybe it's John again. Nope. I'm sorry. Actually, I got clipped. So I should call back and give an update. Or it's Shake. Shake calls. Tyler, Dave, John got hit by that semi.
He did call me about 4 o'clock in the morning last night. And when I got up in the morning and checked my voicemail, he's like, I beat Bioshock Infinite.
Nice.
Okay.
had he not played it?
Mm-mm.
Oh. Well, to be fair, I did the same thing when I beat it. I called you at 4 in the morning. Next call.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Lord Mike of Purdue here with this week's, well, let's not do a Would You Rather this week. I've actually got something a little bit different that I wanted to do this week. I actually, from the Josh Nance episode, I got to thinking about my favorite gaming moment, something that sticks into my memory as soon as I think about gaming in the past. And I wanted to share two moments. I know you guys have shared quite a bit of moments, but maybe this will trigger something for you guys, something that you can share also. Two moments that I'll never forget as far as gaming goes. First would have to be Mario Party. Fucking Mario Party. I don't know if you guys played very much Mario Party, but the very first original Mario Party that came out, I can remember on the fucking Nintendo 64, myself and my brother would play the shit out of it, and I can remember having a blister in the palm of my hand for one of those fucking mini games where you had to rotate the joystick and we would turn the controller sideways, put the joystick right in the palm of your hand and fucking spin that motherfucker just as quick as you could and I had the blister. I'm talking the size of a damn tennis ball in the palm of my hand. And, of course, you know, pop a blister. It'll make it feel better. That's bullshit. It fucking hurts. Second story that automatically comes to mind when I think of great moments in gaming past for myself would have to be the very original Resident Evil. I can remember my cousin buying that on the PlayStation, going over to his house for the first time to sit down and play with him, and sitting down in that dark room, all the lights are off, the door's closed, and we're playing, and you get to the first corridor, and the zombie turns around and looks at you and jumps up and comes running, or not running, it's Resident Evil, comes waddling at you, and we're sitting there, and it's an intense, and we're all into it, and we're watching him play, and somehow his cat has crept into the room. I know you guys are cat people, so I apologize in advance, and I apologize to PETA, but his cat has crept into the room, and so we're all intense, and we're all staring at this 19-inch TV 2 inches away from it, and the cat meows, and we turn around, and I punched the fucking cat. Again, I apologize to cat. I apologize to PETA. But, yeah, that's, you know, great moments in gaming history for myself. Like I said, that the Josh Nance episode brought that up for me, so I figured I'd change it up a little bit. Hope that triggered.
His call cut off.
Yep. But it did trigger some memories for us.
Yes. It triggered a memory for me. Did it trigger a memory for you?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'm totally fine with not doing the would you rather. I think this is a great question. Second of all, did you apologize to that cat? And is it okay?
Because I just pictured it's like a weird version of Mongo from Blazing Saddles. Like just punching and knocking out a cat. Because your alternate title could be Madisonville Mongo. Oh, Lord Mike, that Madisonville Mongo.
Cat
punching cats. But I knew all the games he was talking about. So
yeah. And congratulations on your blister.
Mm.
Actually, that's a brilliant strategy, I think. That never crossed my mind to do that, to turn the controller on its side.
Mm-hmm. I think I remember I played a lot of maybe the first four Mario parties, and then after that it kind of trickled off, but there were a lot of arguments once you could like have Boo steal stars even from the
star belly sneeches.
Yep. And make the, you know, the regular belly star sneeches. It's whole.
Then we all learn a lesson.
It's very societal. It's very. Now that game, it would get, feelings would be hurt and we'd have to quit. So, and then after Mario Party and Resident Evil, Ashley Shake, again, we played that one. I remember that first zombie when it turns its head, and we always played Jill. God forbid you play Chris and try to knife it to death.
Yeah.
But trying to back out of that room, finding your gun, and slowly sidling away as Jill, it's a good moment.
You almost became a Jill sandwich, I believe, is my favorite line from that game.
Oh, whenever you take the shotgun and the wall start moving together. Yeah. Oh, Barry.
Do you have any moments in gaming that, in your personal gaming, that you'll never forget?
I remember playing through Silent Hill 3 in a very similar circumstance to Lord Mike.
A cat punching circumstance.
Just, it was me in a room full of cats. No, in that, back when I used to live with Josh Nance, Ramon Castillo, and Kevin Link, Ramon had bought Silent Hill 3, and he hardly ever stayed with us, though. He stayed with his girlfriend. So his room was just like a single mattress on the floor, a very small TV on like an old bookcase.
A masturbatorium.
Yeah, essentially.
That's where everybody put a sign on the door, in session.
God, if he thought that now, he'd fucking flip out. But he decided to play it there, so we would all, like, four of us kind of crammed together on this single mattress, and, like, the house was pretty shitty anyway, and then just watching that game from beginning to end on the TV, like, was one of my favorite, like, survival horror, like, it's a good gaming memory growing up. We tried capturing that magic again, and it never really worked quite the same.
No. Mm-hmm. Just couldn't find the same mattress, or...
Yeah, couldn't find the same, like, just dirty single, right. No-sheets mattress to really enhance it.
Mine that I still remember to this day, and I still giggle, is an Ultima Online memory, because I played that game a whole lot and when I was in high school. And I'll never forget my first player kill, where I had a 7X GM. He had maxed out stealth, and my good friend spent the time it took to become a Grandmaster Poisoner. So he always kept me in stock with deadly poison weapons. And I remember sneaking into the Lich Room. I can't remember the name of the dungeon, but I remember sneaking into the Lich Room. Three guys are fighting all these liches. And one guy was just, his job was just to heal the tank, essentially, with bandages. That's mm-hmm. all he was doing. He didn't attack any liches. He just kept healing, so the other two could kill the liches. And so I kind of sneak in. I'm nervous because I've never killed another player before, mm-hmm. Tyler. And first of all, I don't know how I feel about it. It's happened to me so many times. And I know how shitty it feels when it happens. And I was like, I don't know. Maybe I'm not going to do this. So like, I'm just stealth there. They have no idea I'm there. I'm just standing witnessing. And I'm thinking about leaving. I'm thinking about leaving these guys alone when it's just like all these circumstances start happening where it's just like, this is a sign that I need to kill this player, because the guy with bandages all of a sudden just says out loud. He doesn't say it in like in a private message or anything like that. He says out loud, I'm running out of bandages. I'm going to teleport back. I'm going to teleport out, get some more, and come right back. Like, he just announces that. So I'm like, okay. Well, now I don't have to worry about three of them. I only have to worry about two of them. So he bamps out. Moments after he bamps out, one of the two others gets killed by a lich. So it's just one guy remaining fighting these liches, and his name is Goku. And that's what I knew. I was like, two obstacles have cleared themselves. I have to kill Goku. So I pop out of the shadows, slice him with a deadly poison katana. He reacts sporadically. He turns around and then just bolts for the door. He makes it about three steps and just dies in a heap. I go back into stealth to leave. And the moment I go back into stealth, the guy with the bandages teleports back in. And I just immediately kill him.
It's pretty good.
I will never forget that. That is my favorite moment in gaming.
And I get to determine the course of your life a little bit.
It did. Because now all I do is just hang around hospitals and wait for people to run out of bandages. And then I let my dark passenger take over.
Nice.
I think we have another call.
Yeah.
Sorry for the long UO story.
Hey, Tadpog. This is Kyle Gilday, better known as BlueEP3. I was just calling back because when you read my name out in the last episode, I had a flashback to every teacher I've ever had. It is pronounced Gilday. The U is silent, I guess. I also wanted to say thanks to Wiley for correcting you on the semi versus bi-weekly. That was driving me nuts in your episode, but I've been told I correct people, so I didn't want to call and say anything, but since you got me to call anyway, I wanted to say thank you to Wiley. Keep up the good work. I enjoy listening to you guys. Thanks a lot.
We are pretty dumb. If you haven't, if our listeners haven't picked up on that yet, I think that's why we have the listeners that we do, is that they get the opportunity, the wonderful opportunity to hear us make mistakes.
Thank you, Corrections Officer Gilday.
I'm glad you brought that up, because Kyle, BluePea3, mm-hmm. requested a title this week. He actually requested a lordship, to which I said we will review that request. But I think was corrections officer.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of something that
district attorney.
There you go. Okay. Prosecutor.
Okay.
Prosecutor Gilday.
Prosecutor.
Prosecutor. Prosecutor Gilday. It's a little bit of Doctor Who in there for you. It's a little bit of Dalek.
That's what Doctor Who is about? Because that's hilarious. Maybe well, I should way, start
the way,
watching
it. The way the Daleks talk oh. about it, that tone. Prosecutor, exterminate.
Yes, we did ask for the correction, so thank you for calling in, and enjoy your new title.
Yeah.
Prosecutor. That's it. That's all the calls we've got.
All right. Well, I got people to thank.
You got people to thank?
I do.
All right.
So for Facebook shares, Marques Nicole, Lord Mike, Saint Zach. For Twitter, Marques Nicole, Paul Korn, Lord Mike of Purdue, Baron Drew Roland, Correspondent Laura Ammons, Impresario Tony, Prosecutor Gilday, and Prosecutor, and Wolf Fighter Jacob York. Mm. For art, Lord Mike posted a picture of a Super Nintendo cosplayer.
Yeah.
It was one of the pictures that helped get me into Reddit. It was the first place I saw it.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. So you'd seen that before?
I'd seen that before.
You saw it on Reddit?
Mm-hmm. It was on one of the first things I saw in R Gaming.
So not R Cringe Pics?
No. No one's cringing at that. It's amazing. Only if he can salvage all those games. If he didn't ruin all those games, then okay.
Yeah, the ones on the sword I'm worried about with the CDs or DVDs that he's used.
So for kind words, Lord Mike, John Turley, and Lord Dennis. Mm-hmm. No five-star reviews.
No, and actually, can I? I'd like to recommend something. Mm-hmm. I want to run something by you to see if you're on board, because after all, it is your Goosebumps book that our reviewer, M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dong, I believe, won that last week. Mm-hmm. We haven't heard from him. Mm. We haven't heard from him. So what I think is we should give it to the next five-star review that we get.
Okay.
What do you think? It's your book.
Yep.
Will you write them a letter on the inside front cover?
Yep.
Sweeten the pot?
Yeah, we'll both sign it.
I want to write a letter.
Okay.
A letter about R.L. Stein. Oh, actually, I want to include some fan fiction that I wrote in middle school. Okay. I'll do it on the front cover. So the next honest five-star review that we get.
It's not a bribe in any way.
It's not a bribe. The next one we get, you will get the Goosebumps book with our erotic fan fiction on the inside front cover. We're doing it.
Done. We're done. I'm down.
All right. I'm glad.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher. So to miss the next episode, we'll be talking about IGN's 56th ranked game.
Nice.
Aliens 3.
Alien 3.
Alien 3. Not
we'll
aliens.
Get into that, though. We'll get into that.
While you're there, don't forget to subscribe, give the show a 5-star rating, write a review. Shit happens in a non-bribery sense. We appreciate it.
Guys, I know what you're expecting me to say, and I'm not going to say it. What I am going to say, a guy that Tyler knows has a podcast, and he seems like a pretty cool guy. I've never met him. We did a crossover with these two guys, and I love their show. They probably don't like our show that much, let's be honest, but they said some really nice things about us. Here's the deal, though. They run a good show, but they have more Facebook followers than us. Mm-hmm. And that bothers me, Tyler. Mm-hmm. That really bothers me, because we actually have people on the Tadpog Facebook page that, like, interact, you know? Mm-hmm. It's actually a cool environment on Facebook.com/Tadpog.
It's true. This is factual.
They have, let's see, let me pull up my notes here. It's not in my notes. Clearly, I'm not as prepared as I thought I was. But they've got about 100 more followers than or likes than we do. Mm-hmm. I sound like a 60-year-old man talking about the tweets and the likes and then you got to send the emails and you got to get the webcam because it's the future.
It's golden.
So what I'd like for you to do, if you like the show and you haven't joined us on Facebook yet, please join us on Facebook. Mm-hmm. We understand. Like, I really don't use Facebook for anything else other than Tadpog. I really don't, because I don't have the time to look at that many babies, Tyler. I don't. And Dennis, that's not directed at you, because your baby's great, and I don't think I've actually seen too many baby photos.
That's a Tadpog baby. It's a different
story. Yeah, I mean, exactly. Yeah.
Clearly, we had a hand in that baby's creation, so that's okay.
But non-Tadpog babies, I don't have time to look at them, Tyler. So I'm just on the Tadpog page all the time. So what I'm saying is, if you listen to the show and you like us, just join us on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Just join us on Facebook. If you're already there, can I make the request that tell a friend? Mm-hmm. We're going to start a tell a friend campaign. Mm-hmm. Invite a friend to the page.
You can recommend this page to others.
Just do it. Trust me, I don't expect you to send an invite to your grandma. I wouldn't do that. I'm sure she's lovely. But our brand of podcast probably isn't for her. I'm just thinking maybe not.
Yeah.
But you might have a buddy.
Yeah, you might have an awesome grandma.
Yeah, well, you could. And if you do, invite her. But I'm willing to bet most of us just have, you know, someone that we know would like the show. Just pass the word along, and we'd really appreciate it. Also,
I'm tempted to have my grandma on the show.
Can we?
Maybe. She wouldn't know what's going on.
Oh, I think that would be pretty awesome. Like,
Grandma, we're talking about Alien 3. The what?
And special guest host, what's her name?
Margaret.
Special guest host, Margaret. Do you think when we get Margaret on the show, we definitely need to get Lord Mike to call in and do a really good Would You Rather? Anyways, We have conversations like that all the time on Facebook.
That could be the second edition. The second edition of Man Pog, where Nick can just talk to my grandma for an hour and a half.
Yeah, okay. I'm on board with that. I think that could be really good. We also have a webpage, guys. Tadpog.com. Tyler's going to put some show notes up for this show.
Mm-hmm.
Check out his show notes. You don't like mine, maybe you'll like his. We're also on Twitter. We're blowing up on Twitter. The tweetosphere is just, man, just ablaze, Tyler.
People like that more than Facebook.
I do. And you know why? It's because I can listen to celebrities. Mm. I can catch up. I don't have to look at the tabloids when I'm standing in line. They still have those, right?
Mm-hmm. Tabloids. I think so. I haven't been to Piggly Wiggly in a while.
I love it. So join us there. You can find us at tadpog_podcast.
Khloe Kardashian has like 4.1 million likes on Facebook. I just want like 200. That'd be nice.
I think 200. All right. If we don't have 200 likes on a Facebook page by the end of the year, what are we going to do? We're going to
bitch about it and ask for more.
Yes, exactly. So you're going to have to listen to more of this if you haven't already stopped. Tyler, our intro song is Moves by a gentleman named Sycamore Drive.
Okay.
A link to that track can probably be found in the show notes.
I'll try to remember it so he can't sue.
Yeah, I mean, have we thanked him enough? Mm. Can we ever truly thank Sycamore Drive enough, though?
No, it's true.
Okay.
I'm done. Guacamole, Grandma.
The whole hand job thing. Every bit of the hand job. Every bit of the podcast about a hand job he enjoyed.